WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports, and as you hear, your host Al Martin has his voice back. Finally, right? Still a bit hoarse, just a little bit. Not like it was yesterday. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. I'm ready to get back at it. And I'm so honored you've allowed Current Sports to be a part of your Thursday afternoon here on WKAR AM 870. We've got a great hour in store for all of you out there. On today's Current Sports, we will give you a full wall-to-wall recap from last night's Michigan State men's basketball game as Tom Izzo and his troops got a big win, not even close, folks, over the Minnesota Golden Gophers. With the dub, the Spartans have now swept the season series against Patino's squad. Can you believe that? And a lot of people believing that Minnesota will finish somewhere near the top of the Big Ten when the conference season is said and done. This is a pair of wins now that will continue to pay dividends as the Spartan season continues. So we'll talk about it. We will have locker room interviews for you. You'll also get to hear from head coach Tom Izzo in just a moment. You don't want to miss that. We will also chat about Jabril Peppers making his decision to forgo another year at the University of Michigan and pursue his dream of playing in the National Football League. What does that mean for Jabril Peppers? Where will he go in the NFL draft? And what does that mean for next year's Wolverines defense? I'll break it down. We will also invite a dear friend to the show, Omari Sankofa, who has now been hired as a general assignment sports reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Very excited for Omari. He's excited as he now moves on to this new venture. We'll chat with Omari about the new gig as well as get his thoughts on the Michigan State men's basketball year. And on the back end of the show, with it being Thursday, we'll hop into our current sports time machine to take a look at what exactly happened on this particular date in sports history. And we'll give sort of a season update on what's taking place with the lowly Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons, who have a pretty tough matchup tonight on the road on national television. That and more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can join us via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we begin things with, of course, the Michigan State men's basketball team. Miles Bridges did not play the last time Michigan State rallied to beat Minnesota in overtime. With the freshman standout back in the lineup, the Spartans simply dominated the 24th-ranked Golden Gophers. Bridges scored all 16 of his points before halftime, helping Michigan State build a huge lead. Yeah, cruising to a 65-47 victory over Minnesota last night. The Spartans, which sit at 12-6 overall, 4-1 in Big Ten play, started the night in a five-way tie atop the conference with the Golden Gophers and moved a half game ahead of number 17 Purdue, Maryland, and Nebraska. The Spartans play Ohio State on Sunday. That will be a 1:30 p.m. tip time. The University of Michigan men's basketball team was overpowered by a season-high 64% shooting from Illinois, falling 85-69 last night inside the State Farm Center. The Wolverines hit 53% of their shots, while Illinois shot a season-high 64% overall and 64% from three-point range. DJ Wilson led four Michigan players in double-digit scoring, recording 19 points. Next up for the Wolverines, they will return home to host Nebraska on Saturday at 2 p.m. inside of Chrysler Center.
big congratulations to Jim Harbaugh as the Michigan football coach welcomed the newest addition to his family on Wednesday, announcing the birth of his son, John. Harbaugh took to Twitter to announce the news. John was born premature at 4 pounds, 13 ounces. He tweeted, quote, "Arriving early, weighing in at 4 pounds, 13 ounces with an 18-inch wingspan." I love that tweet. "Our newest Wolverine teammate, John Harbaugh. Precious, God is good," end quote. Congratulations to the Harbaugh family indeed. The Detroit Red Wings are back in action tonight. The Wings, like the Stars, have dropped four of their last five. The latest was an overtime loss to the Chicago Blackhawks as the Stars were in Anaheim. Duncan Keith scored on the power play less than a minute into the extra frame. Also, like the Stars, the only win, in their last five games came at the Staples Center against the Kings, who are apparently not all that difficult to defeat. Though the Wings did it more soundly with a margin of 4-0. Puck drop is set for 8:30 p.m. tonight. And later on tonight, you can catch the Detroit Pistons taking on the league's best record, hitting the road to play the Golden State Warriors. And get this, they will be doing it in front of a nationally televised audience on TNT. 10:30 p.m. is when that one starts. This is the third of a five-city road trip for the Pistons. The Pistons gave the Warriors a battle in the previous meeting. It took 32 points by Kevin Durant, 25 by Steph Curry, and a 12-assist, 10-rebound double-double by Draymond Dede Green, former Spartan great, for Golden State to scratch out that win. Let's see if the Pistons can get a bit of revenge tonight. Chargers owner Dean Spanos has called an 8 a.m. meeting this morning to tell his staff the news that they all have been bracing for. The San Diego Chargers are no longer the San Diego Chargers. The team is moving to Los Angeles. According to several sources informed of the team's plan, Spanos told NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, other league officials, and a few fellow owners of his intentions following the committee meetings on Wednesday. During those meetings, the Chargers were barely a topic, and the league did not offer any additional money to contribute to their stadium efforts. According to those who know him well, the committee meetings were seen as the last opportunity for a solution. The San Diego Chargers were in San Diego for 55 years. In the last 16 years, the Chargers have been pleading for a new venue. Well, those talks have now turned stale, and the team will be moving to L.A. So now two NFL teams in L.A. with the L.A. Rams and now the L.A. Chargers. Interesting. What are your thoughts on that? 517-355-WKER. Vance Joseph was hired by the Denver Broncos on Wednesday to be the team's new head coach. The 44-year-old Joseph was the defensive coordinator for the Miami Dolphins this past season, leading a unit that finished sixth overall in yards allowed. He succeeds Gary Kubiak, who led the Broncos to a Super Bowl title in the 2015 season and retired at the end of 2016. And last, but thank goodness least, Floyd Mayweather would only consider ending his retirement for a fight with Conor McGregor. Mayweather hasn't fought since 2015 when he retired with a perfect 49-0 record and is widely regarded as the best pound-for-pound fighter of his generation. Now, Dubliner McGregor has spoken freely about the possibility of facing unbeaten boxing champion Mayweather in a bout and has even issued a boxing license in California. Now, McGregor, who is the only fighter to hold two UFC titles simultaneously, insisted that Mayweather was afraid of him in November and claimed that he wants $100 million to take on the American in a boxing match. Now, Mayweather confirmed that he would be willing to fight McGregor in the boxing ring, that he made an offer of $15 million to the Irishman to do so. Speaking to ESPN's First Take yesterday, Mayweather said, quote, "Conor McGregor keeps telling everybody he wants to fight. Let's make it happen," end quote. I truly believe that's a fight that we will never see. And if we do see it, I don't see Conor McGregor playing Mayweather's game in the world of boxing and winning. But, hey, that's just me. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, Reminding you all, you can weigh in via social media at facebook.com/currentsports. Tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. So much to get to. Time's a-wasting. Let's get right to it. Let's start the show.
Last week after the game, his mother texted me and said, you know, she thought he was too casual and not aggressive and got to get back to beast mode. So I give her credit. She got him back to beast mode. But did you see how tired he got in the first 4 minutes? He almost died, you know. And I laughed because when I took him out, I told him, I said, Miles, I've been asking him, what kind of shape you think you're in? And Miles is going, oh, I'm 90%, guy. I said, well, you're about 60.
Yeah, my mom, she called me after the Penn State game. She said I wasn't being aggressive. And I had ADHD. She said you gotta let that ADHD kick in. So, yeah, that's why I love my mom. She's always on me about that. And she just wants me to do great in life.
Mama knows best.
Yes, she does.
Daddy flew in. His dad flew in from Alabama. I think he's sobbing about the football loss down there. But his dad was... You know, I don't think that's the reason. Josh has been practicing. He's been better since Christmas. I think the biggest thing is you don't see the limping or the dragging of the foot.
You know, it's great to have my dad come and watch me play and support me.
What kind of advice has he given you during this time?
He just told me everything's a process. You know, this, I'm a freshman. You know, this is different for me. So, you know, everything's a process. And the key to it is just to stay even keel, not to get too high, not to get too low, but always, you know, to try to keep learning and always try to keep evolving. Because if you're never growing, you're never moving forward. So that's what he tells me.
And that is how we start this Thursday afternoon edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Keep learning. Keep evolving. The message that Josh Langford's father had to him when concerning the injury that Josh had at the beginning of the year and trying to just get into some kind of groove, trying to find his game. Well, keep learning and evolving is what I try to do every day. And yesterday was a lesson in that as I lost my voice halfway through the show. Yeah, apologies to our listeners yesterday that had to deal with that. Voice went out around 1:27. Yes, I remember what time it was because I looked up and I'm like, can I get through this show? And I looked up, and as my voice started crackling, it said 1:27 on the dial. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this cannot be happening. So before I move on here and we engage in a discussion about the MSU men's basketball win over Minnesota last night, I want to give a special thanks to, number one, our listeners out there, those who didn't turn the dial as that show went on. Number two, Isaac Constance for pinch hitting for me and conducting the interview with future Hall of Fame coach Mike Ingram, who joined us on the show yesterday. Isaac did a great job of holding it down. And number three, last but certainly not least, Jim Comperoni of Spartan Magazine, who actually called in at 1:50 and helped Isaac through the last 10 minutes of the show talking Spartan football. I actually ran into Jim last night right before Tom Izzo took the podium and expressed my deepest thanks and gratitude for him helping out during the show yesterday. Jim, just a great guy. One of the classy guys that we have in this industry locally. Just the best. Jim, much thanks to you. If you're listening out there, we really appreciated your help on yesterday's show. And Jim even gave me some advice when it comes to my voice and making sure. Because, you know, in this industry, Yeah, folks, my voice is everything. That's how I get a check, all right? So if my voice goes, paper or plastic at Meijer, all right? That's just how it is, you know? And it was a prime lesson in that yesterday. And I was chatting with Jim, and he's like, you know, Al, you got to take care of your voice. So he gave me a few tips as to how to do that. And, of course, one of those tips was tea. But also, he encouraged me to try this as well. And I encourage this to you, Isaac, if this ever happens to you in this industry later on down the road when your voice just goes out. He said warm water. It doesn't sound the most appealing, but he said warm water, just warm up water, drink it, and it'll help soothe your throat. So I didn't try that today. Look at me. I'm not even heeding this advice already, even though I'm giving it to you, right, and our listeners out there. But he said to try that, and that should help. So if I ever get in that predicament again, and here I go, I'm sitting here with my coffee right to my right. I have to have, you know, I'm superstitious. I got to have my coffee during every single show. But warm water is one of those things that I may be trying later on down the line. But Isaac, you did a great job yesterday, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, I appreciate it, Alan. I've got to actually apologize for you because I exacerbated the situation a little bit by cracking up every single time you started speaking behind the glass. I couldn't contain it. It's not like, I can't explain it. It's not your actual voice. You just sounded, I don't know how to put it,
I sounded like the main character in The Exorcist. That's what I sounded like. For those that want to go back and check out that audio, I sounded just like the little girl who got possessed and was going through her phase. I went back and listened to it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that sounds horrible. And it's funny because when Mike came on the show, and I wanted to, I was trying so hard to get off the bench and get back in the game. And I wanted to throw a question out to Mike and tell him thank you for coming on the show. And then as soon as I do that, Mike's like, oh, no, Al, I really hope you're not interviewing me, man, because I think he was listening up until that point where my voice went out. And he's like, oh, no, I really hope you're not throwing me questions. And well, anyway, we got through it. And
yeah,
again,
it's our comedy hour of the year.
It was like showtime at the Apollo for you yesterday,
so
dude.
And then, yeah, exactly, because then as I'm talking, I'm distracted because the phone's ringing behind me and you have to run in and I'm talking about Jabril Peppers and I don't know where I'm going. You know, it's like, and the phone's ringing and Jabril Peppers.
It's just
a fun show.
And we got through it. That's the main thing, right? So we're back on it. We are back and in good health and ready to deliver you a great hour of sports talk. And of course, we start by addressing that montage you just heard. Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team, wow. I mean, they started the night, as I mentioned in the headliners, in a five-way tie atop the Big Ten Conference along with the Golden Gophers. Minnesota came to the Breslin last night, and you know, I was very shocked, just like many of you were, at the outcome and just how that game began and you know, Michigan State having a 20-point lead at one time in the game. With the win now, Michigan State moved a half game ahead of number 17 Purdue, Maryland, and Nebraska. The Spartans are still atop the Big Ten Conference. This is the way it looks. Michigan State at 4-1. Then you have Maryland, Purdue, and Nebraska all at 3-1. And Wisconsin at 2-1, and then you have Minnesota now at 3-2. The two losses that Minnesota has are to Michigan State. What a win from start to finish. And, you know, I really thought that Cassius Winston, freshman point guard, said it best. Quote, "This is the closest that we've played to that level for an extended amount of time. We basically played our best game the whole game. That is the key to winning, period." I don't know. I don't care what level you're talking about. When you are locked in first defensively, Michigan State put forth its best defensive effort of the year in that win last night. That is the storyline. I also want to address what I thought was a very cool storyline from Tom Izzo last night, and I followed up with Miles Bridges as well as Josh Langford about it in the locker room after the 65-47 dub. Miles Bridges, after his performance or lack thereof against Penn State, his mother shot Coach Izzo a text and said that, you know, and also Miles a text saying that you got to be, baby, you got to be more aggressive. That's my classic mom impersonation. Baby, you got to be more aggressive. Get back to beast mode. So that's what Tom Izzo stated in his press conference. And, you know, he talked about how his mom said, you know, yeah, Miles has to get back to his true form. And I asked Miles about it in the presser, and you heard what Miles stated. He said, yeah, you know, my mom got on me, and she gave me some advice, and I followed up with, yeah, mama knows best, right? And he kind of chuckled and said, yeah. So, you know, there's a family connection there that alluded to the motivation behind Miles Bridges' performance, some of the motivation behind his performance last night, and also another family connection that occurred with Josh Langford. Josh Langford's father is in town, and I got a chance to actually run into Josh Langford and his pops actually on the way to my car after doing interviews last night. And I chatted with Josh and his father just very briefly, said good game, and got a chance to meet his pops. And I went to my car and headed on home. And Josh just mentioned how great it is to have his father in town. Just, you know, with Josh being from Alabama, you know, I can only imagine, because I stayed in state when I came to Michigan State. I'm from Detroit. I can only imagine what it's like for students like yourself, Isaac, who go to a different state where you don't have family, you don't have friends, you're starting with a clean slate, you don't know anybody. I mean, it's a bit of a culture shock. So having a familiar face in town, that does a lot for just the morale of someone who's playing Division I basketball on a Michigan State stage. So having his pops in town, that does a lot for Josh. And Josh, you know, Tom Izzo stated in his postgame presser that there were two players that he thought had their best games all year. Josh Langford and Kenny Goins. So when you look at the stats here, and I got the entire full packet here of stats quarter by quarter in front of my face right now. Josh Langford was 6 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 2 from the three-point line, finished with 13 points, 3 boards. Solid game for him. The reason why I have to agree with Izzo in that this was the best game of Josh Langford's young Michigan State career so far is that Josh just looked confident. Confidence is something that Josh Langford has struggled with this year, much in part having to do with, I believe, that injury. Second-guessing himself, you know, not wanting to go too hard because you just don't know if everything is intact and in place, if you're 100%. At some point, you just got to put all of that on the back burner, put all of that in the back of your mind, and go out there and play basketball. And I believe that's what Josh did last night. Just let his hair down and just went with the ebb and flows of the game. And, again, the best component of Josh Langford's game is his mid-range jump shot, I believe. I mean, it's fascinating to me when I watch Josh Langford play because he reminds me, just the way he moves, the way he cuts, his whole demeanor, and I've mentioned this before, and it's not a surprise because I followed up actually during media day with Josh on this aspect of his game. He moves or tries to move like a very, 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 did I say very? Very poor man's Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant. Just the way he moves, the way he cuts, his mid-range game. And I asked him about that, and he said, yes, I tried to pattern my game after Kobe Bryant's coming up. And you can see it. You know, that's what was Jordan's bread and butter during the later part of his career. And it's what Kobe Bryant emulated throughout much of his career as well. Just that mid-range jumper and how effective it can be. It's a lost art in today's 2017 basketball. But Josh Langford, the way he comes off screens in that mid-range area and just his whole follow-through is great. I love it. I love it. And I think Michigan State moving forward will try and do its part in getting him more shots in that 15 to 17-foot range, without a doubt. So I was very impressed with Josh Langford. A few other points I want to bring up. I think that Nick Ward, who clearly has been, and Izzo has stated this as well, Nick Ward has been the most improved player heading into this year. Nick Ward, though, finished with a pedestrian in relation to his other performances this season. A pedestrian, 9 points. He went 3 of 8 from the floor. Hey, how about his free throw numbers, though? 3 of 4 from the free throw line from the charity stripe and had 8 boards. So he was, what, 2 rebounds and a point away from a double-double. That's solid. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But the fact that Nick Ward picked up 2 early fouls in that game, that hurt Michigan. I thought it was going to hurt Michigan State more than it did. It eventually worked out, and guys defensively stepped up. And, again, that's why I bring up Kenny Goins in this conversation. Kenny Goins had a great defensive game. But Nick Ward, moving forward, can't get into foul trouble that early in the game, especially when Michigan State is already so thin in the front court. Aaron Harris, another name I want to bring up. Aaron was 3 of 9 from the floor, 1 of 3 from the three-point line, a total of 8 points. We all know that Aaron Harris is better than that, but we all also know that we are starting to see other players step up. And Aaron Harris, every single night, doesn't need to be a lights-out 24-point man. Granted, though, I do believe that even with the performance like 8 points, Aaron Harris still has to be involved in Michigan State's scheme on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. Because when he's not, you're missing a big hole there. I do believe that. So even though Aaron Harris isn't lighting up the stat sheet in the points column, he still has to be there when it comes to defense and facilitating as an offensive player. If his shot isn't falling. But he didn't need to be the man last night. Again, 3 of 9. You look at other players on this team. Again, and I go to Miles Bridges. Miles Bridges is a player that was absent during that first meeting against Minnesota. That made a tremendous difference in this game. He looked great. He looked great coming off that Penn State performance at the Palestra. 16 points, all in the first half, by the way. 6 boards, 4 blocks. And that does a lot when you have your best player performing on that kind of level. Not just offensively, going back to defense. Defense, this could be a game that we reference for the Michigan State men's basketball year, depending on the type of success that they have throughout the Big Ten season. This could be a game that defensively we point to as a turning point for that part of the basketball area for Michigan State squad. That we say this is the moment where Michigan State clicked defensively. This is the moment where Michigan State started just shutting teams down offensively. So the question I now ask, the obvious question that can now be asked is, can this type of play, can this type of performance be duplicated? Can it be sustained moving forward? Miles is going to be Miles. The question that I have, if I do have a question concerning Miles Bridges' game, is can Miles Bridges turn into a leader like Lou Rawls' Tum Tum Nearing is? That's the question I have for Miles, because he's got the talent. But can he turn into a guy that can chew out his teammates and inspire them and motivate them moving forward? Josh Langford has to have a confidence carryover. This confidence just can't be a game here and a game here type of thing. This has to be something that every single game, if you are struggling, even if you are struggling, Josh, if you don't hit those first 3 jumpers, you can't wallow. You can't put that head down and sulk. Get back at it. So maybe, maybe with his dad being in town during a game like this will also have pay dividends moving forward. Nick Ward, as I mentioned, you got to stay out of foul trouble. Aaron Harris, you got to mentally stay there. I've been preaching those two things a lot throughout the Michigan State men's basketball year. Nonetheless, this is a great game in which Michigan State did while wearing the MAC throwbacks. We haven't seen those jerseys since 1999 during the Martine Cleaves and Mo Pete and Jason Richardson days, the national championship days, right? So, Izzo was asked that by Alex Sims of WLNS TV 6 last night, whether or not the jerseys had some type of effect on their game. And Tom Izzo said, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? So we will see these jerseys moving forward, I believe. But a throwback back to the old name, Isaac, Michigan Agricultural College. I really liked the jerseys last night.
Yeah, they were hot. I really enjoyed that throwback of a performance as well by the Spartans. But the thing is, I liked how you ended your dialogue. Can they sustain this? It was a great game. And, you know, Nate Mason and Minnesota, that's a great program right there. And credit to Richard Pitino for doing such a good job assembling this roster almost out of nothing over his tenure at Minnesota. The Golden Gophers really have become a team that's quite formidable in the Big Ten. But the thing is, what I want to urge fans is maybe this is a turning point. Maybe this could be the starting point of something great for this team. But you know what? Just like sometimes a team has your number, maybe MSU just has Minnesota's number this season. It could be that simple that these two teams, the edge just goes to MSU and that MSU just matches up well. So as good as that performance was, I'm not ready to throw too much stock into it just yet. A big player for Minnesota, Reggie Lynch, suffers through foul trouble that whole game, can't get his shot going, and then is boxed out comprehensively by the MSU defense. There was a lot going on in that game, the refereeing as well, a lot of fouls called. All that culminates into an environment where, yeah, sometimes it helps MSU, sometimes it hurts MSU, but everything went MSU's way last game. So as good as this performance was, let's not hop on the bandwagon just yet. Let's not praise the team, glorify them as the coming champions or whatever. Let's just say, all right, it's a game. It's a good game. Let's go off that. Because all you can do when a game like this. I know it's just easy for fans to get hyped up after this, but this is still a team that's 1-1 in its last two games.
I definitely say temper those emotions, but I also say you got to feel good if you're a Michigan State men's basketball fan when looking out at how this team responded to a loss at a place like the Palestra, in which Tom Izzo afterwards said that he was embarrassed by his team. The way his team responded by a performance like this, you have to be encouraged by it, without a doubt, against a team like Minnesota, who many people believe will finish, and I believe as well, will finish near the top of the Big Ten when it's all said and done. What Pitino has done at Minnesota, I mean, it's got to be fun to be a Golden Gopher right now, because you get P.J. Fleck with the football team. Patino's got the basketball team humming as we speak. Just a fun atmosphere out in Minnesota. But this is a good win that Tom Izzo is going to build off of for sure. And like typical Izzo, I mean, when he comes in, you know, he immediately addresses what exactly he was not pleased about with his team. And I thought, you know, with a game like this, wall-to-wall, Michigan State play pretty solid. I thought, you know, Tom would come in with a bit more of a smile on his face, but typical Tom Izzo, that's the thing. You know, Hall of Fame coach, he's a Hall of Famer for a reason. He's not going to rest on his laurels here. He's not going to get complacent with sweeping Minnesota in the Big Ten year. They are going to go back to work, look at film, and keep it pushing. And that's what I love about this team. You got to be encouraged with that. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat with a dear friend of our airwaves, Omari Sankofa, who is now accepted a gig as a general assignment sports reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We'll talk about the new gig with Omari. Also chat about and really get his thoughts on the MSU men's basketball team as well. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just finished up a chat concerning the Michigan State men's basketball win over Minnesota last night. The Spartans currently sitting at 4-1 in the Big Ten Conference. What are your thoughts on this team moving forward? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports, I briefly want to address Jabril Peppers deciding to take his talents to the National Football League. I just want to first say, I think this is the right move for Peppers. I've stated constant times here on our airwaves how I believe that if a young stud who's playing Division I college athletics, if they have an opportunity to be an early first-round pick with guaranteed millions on the line, you would be foolish not to take that opportunity considering the profession. We all know football is a very physical sport. How many times have we seen individuals decide to say, you know what? And no fault to them. I get it. You know, you want to continue your college education. You think that you can maybe raise your draft stock a bit and just become an overall better player. I understand that. But playing a gladiator sport like the game of football, nothing is guaranteed. I mean, that's evident by a teammate of Jabril Peppers and Jake Butt, who decided to say, you know what? I want to play in the Orange Bowl game against Florida State. Jake Butt, unfortunately, goes down and tears his ACL. Guaranteed millions on the line. Tears his ACL. Really feel bad for players when that happens. So when you talk about a Christian McCaffrey, when you talk about a Leonard Fournette, I get it. I don't fault you for it. Go out there, get your moolah. Because the NCAA, and you better believe the NFL as well, is not going to look out for you when it comes to your own brand and your own stock as a player. So, Jabril Peppers, wishing you luck, my man. You're going to be a high NFL draft pick. You're going to get paid. And the question for me now is, how in the world is this Michigan football team going to rebound considering the turnover that it now embarks on in 2017-18 with all of the seniors that it had on both sides of the football? The Wolverines now will open next season on September 2nd against Florida AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, with one returning defensive starter. How about that? Yes, they will play that game on September 2nd against the Gators out at the home of my Dallas Cowboys with just one returning defensive starter. That man being linebacker Mike McCray. Defensive coordinator Don Brown, he has a tall task ahead of him. Don Brown, whose defenses have now been number one 2 years in a row after achieving that at Boston College, if you remember back in 2015, essentially starting from scratch with an entirely different unit. Now, I must say this, though. It's you know, for U of M fans out there listening, don't panic when it comes to the defense for the most part, because you better believe that defensive line is still going to be a force. And this is the reason why I say that. They will be the most experienced group. Redshirt junior Chase Winovich, redshirt junior Brian Moan, fifth-year senior Maurice Hurst in the middle, and then the most talented player on the defense, sophomore end Rashawn Gary. All of those names will be on that defensive line next year. Being thrusted into new roles as starters, they'll be fine. It's that secondary that I'm a bit concerned with. And that's what a Jabril Peppers offered you the luxury of when he played for the Maize and Blue. I mean, Jabril Peppers, I don't even think there's an argument here. Now, there's an argument that can be made that, and I believe that he was not the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. I think that's the general consensus. I don't even know if the man should have gotten an invite to New York for the Heisman Trophy race. There are other names that I probably would have put in that slot as well. But Michigan is a sexy school, the most winningest program in college football history. I get it. Jabril Peppers, a big name. He's got a great personality. He's a do-it-all player. There's no argument that Jabril Peppers was the most versatile player in all of college football last year. No argument there. Well, that's what makes him so appealing to NFL scouts everywhere. And that's the luxury that the Maize and Blue had. That's the luxury that Don Brown had when evaluating that defense, because you can put him at safety, you can put him at corner, you can put him at linebacker. Heck, you can even have him return kickoffs. He could do it all. He was Mr. Do-It-All. But now the secondary will have four new starters. Safeties, Tyree Cannell, Kaliki Houston. They playing in spurts, but not enough to have a great comfort level in the secondary. This is a U of M football team that will look vastly different from the one that you saw compete for a college football playoff this past season. But this is also a U of M football team that consistently has some of the top recruits in the entire nation. This is a U of M football team that is coached by a man in Jim Harbaugh that knows how to develop players. And that is the key. Recruiting isn't the number one end-all be-all. We saw that with Brady Hoke, but you have to develop that talent coming into your program. Jim Harbaugh has proven that he can do that. So I think this will be a good U of M football team next season. I just don't know how confident I am in saying that this is a team that will be in the college football playoff conversation. That's why they play the game. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's current sports. He is now a general assignment sports reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He has spent many, many years. Well, I shouldn't say many. I'm making him sound so old right now, Isaac. He's a young
guy. He's 48.
He just, yeah, no, right? He's just getting out of college. I'm like, he spent many, many years. No, he spent some time here in East Lansing covering the Michigan State beat and has done a great job. He was also working with Sports Illustrated for some time as well. Omari Sankofa, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. And I first want to start by saying congratulations on the new gig. How does it feel, my man?
Feels fantastic, Kyle. Thank you for having me on.
Always good hearing your voice, my friend. And we are certainly going to miss you here in the mid-Michigan area. I first want to start by talking about the new gig. How did the job come about as now a sports reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny how it happened. I mean, last semester I was just applying for jobs, and I saw that a job to cover Pitt football at the Post-Gazette. And I said, you know what, I'm fresh out of college. It's probably, you know, they're going to give it to somebody older, but I applied for it anyway. And they ended up interviewing because, you know, they really liked my resume. And then come to find out that a few people who I work with at SI went to college as one of the editors at the Post-Gazette. And Chris Solari from the Detroit Free Press, who I was working with when I freelanced for them last semester. One of his former editors also worked at the Post-Gazette. So when I did my references, they all put in great words for me. And though I didn't get the football job, they liked me so much just from, you know, talking to them and from the interview and things like that, that they brought me on to cover general assignment college sports, which would give me some more range and also help me ease in, you know, to get used to a new city and everything like that. And it really just is a really exciting and fantastic opportunity, and I can't wait to get down there.
We're happy for you, Omari. Now, for those that don't know, Omari is an MSU alum. Omari, I just want to talk about, because I'm an MSU alum. Isaac is a soon-to-be MSU alum. For any students out there listening to this interview, how did Michigan State prepare you for this new endeavor, now going out to Pittsburgh and following your dream as a sports reporter?
I mean, the thing about Michigan State is that it's a huge school with all these different people who do different things. And because of that, there are so many opportunities to do what you want to do, you know, if you work at it and you just hustle and dedicate yourself to it. Now, of course, you know, me being in sports journalism, this is one of the biggest sports schools, you know, not only in the Big Ten, but in the entire nation. So there are all sorts of chances here to, you know, cover sports, whether it's for the state news where I started off, or, you know, WKAR, you know, wherever. Like, there are opportunities everywhere. And I guess it's really just realizing you're in this big place where you can find these opportunities and take advantage of them, you know. So I guess that'll be my advice, to see what's out there. And, you know, even if you're a freshman, I mean, just start doing it now, because it can open up some doors for you.
Isaac, I think you know a little something about that, right? Starting as a freshman. I mean, Isaac, you came in working with us as a freshman, dude. So you can attest to that, right?
Yeah, no, I think it's important just go out there, try to make your name be held in the eyes of the big people. You know, just get yourself out there, put your resume out there, see where you apply, see where you get, and keep going from there. Only bigger stuff opens up.
The key to it, I always say, when I'm talking to students, Omari, is you got to want it. And you got to be willing to work hard. Throughout your college career, Omari, can you kind of go through the experiences with different publications that you had, the different internships, just to put in perspective how hard you had to work in order to end up in a gig like this?
Sure. So I joined State News my very first semester at Michigan State. That was I mean, you said many years. I mean, that's probably correct. But I was 2012.
Yeah. So, right.
You know, we're seeing so long ago now. But once I got there and, you know, I met the other reporters and things like that, I kind of figured out, okay, I can cover men's basketball here. I can do a sports editor. You know, if I stick with it and keep working at it, I can do these things. So I worked at the State News, I think, consecutively my first 6 or 7 semesters there before stopping. And that included 2 different summers. And eventually that led to me covering men's basketball. And I got that spring 2015. And that's the year that they made the surprise run to the Final Four. So I covered the Final Four during my junior year here, which is still probably like the highlight of like my sports career thus far.
For sure. That's a pinch me moment, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so after that, I did a summer internship at the Jackson Sip Pack with M-Line. During that summer, the campus rush opportunity through SI opened up, and I was recommended for that, and they ended up selecting me for that. So I did that my senior year, and then that set up an internship at Sports Illustrated, SI.com, that summer. So I moved to New York last summer to intern with them for about 2.5 months. Then I came back, and I did the freelance for the Detroit Free Press with Chris Solari, and also did some things for the Dempsey State Journal, communicating back and forth with Graham College, and only had 6 credits at that point to finish, so I just used my spare time to apply for jobs and try to figure out the next move, and then Post-Gazette came about probably a few weeks ago, and but now I'm here. So,
for students listening, basically what Omari said was hard work and dedication. All right, that's exactly what that spiel was about. Omari, we're going to wish you well out at Pittsburgh and keeping this conversation pushing. I first want to know 2 things. Because I hate, it's probably one of the things that if I don't hate too many things in this world, okay? But this is on the list, probably at the top of the list. I hate moving, Omari. This, the task of packing up boxes and calling movers and, you know, just getting everything organized. I hate moving from one spot to another. I don't know what it's like to move to an entirely different state. I'm just talking about moving to an apartment down the street. You know what I mean? So I have to know, how is the move coming along, and what assignments will you be covering out there in Pittsburgh?
So I'm on the move. I do have my housing situation figured out. I haven't unpacked too much from when I packed to come back home from my apartment up here. So I'm not going to have to do too much more packing, because I figured, well, what's the point of unpacking everything when I'm going to have to get up and come back in 4 weeks, you know?
Right, so, right.
Yeah, most of that's taken care of. I got to get the moving there and everything else. But I'm actually moving down there next Saturday, so I have a little bit more time to figure that out. So,
okay.
Trying not to stress myself out.
And, yeah, just the woosah, woosah.
Yeah, exactly. And then for my assignments, one of my main assignments will be covering Robert Morris basketball, which I'm excited for, because basketball has always been, what I consider my primary sport, and that's as what I've covered and followed for the longest amount of time. So that would be exciting. And then beyond that, because I'm general assignment, it would kind of depend on what's going on with the different schools in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh has a lot of colleges, so it's going to be like a, you know, month-by-month, week-by-week basis. And I know when football season kicks back up, it's going to be pretty, pretty busy. So definitely looking forward to that.
I'm wondering, Omari, will you have any opportunity possibly to cover Pat Narduzzi and that Pittsburgh squad out there?
You know, I'm sure there will be opportunities here and there. I'm not positive yet, but, of course, Pitt football has been on the come up for the past few years, and of course, we all know Pat Narduzzi here. I mean, he's been going for a couple of years now. He's still the left figure, so hopefully so. I would love to cover a Pat Narduzzi press conference and maybe even a game if the chance comes up.
What about the Steelers at all?
I'm not sure about the Steelers. I think I'm going to be mostly on the college football track.
I figured that. I want to get your thoughts, though, because – of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the NFL playoffs, and you saw what they were able to do in that wild card matchup against the Miami Dolphins this past weekend. Le'Veon Bell, as I stated at the very beginning of the week, I think he is redefining how the running back position may be coached moving forward. I mean, his patience is something I've never seen. I've seen patience in running backs, don't get me wrong, but I haven't seen the kind of patience that Le'Veon Bell has exhibited throughout his young running back career. What are your thoughts on the Steelers, and how far do you think they can move along in this year's NFL playoff run?
I mean, the Steelers are such a fun team to watch. I mean, you have a team with a dynamic running back in Le'Veon Bell. Like you said, you know, he is very patient. And watching a Michigan State, he wasn't the fastest guy, and that kind of, you know, draft Scott talked about that before he was drafted. But he's very, very powerful. He moves his feet very well, and he allows things to happen in front of him. He doesn't try and force the issue too much. And I think that really has separated him from, you know, some of the big bruising running backs that, you know, we expect, you know, guys like Eddie Lacy, you know, that the Bama guys who usually go round one because they're just so big and strong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been great to be able to watch him and just see how his career has progressed because, again, I don't think anybody expects him to be as good as he currently is now. And then, I mean, Antonio, I mean, who even needs to, you know, talk about Antonio Brown? I mean, the guy is just absurd. And they can go far. I mean, I'm very, very bad at projecting NFL playoffs, so I'm not going to do it on the radio because I'm just usually awful at it.
That was my next question, but, Omari. I was about to say, I mean, who do you got? Who's going to make it to the Super Bowl, and let alone who's going to win the whole thing? Okay, you're not touching that then, huh? That stove is too hot.
You know, like, I'm going to be so off. I mean, and people remember things. I've tried to predict it every year, and I've gotten it wrong every year since, like, middle school. And, I mean, like, even when I do, like, fantasy, whatever. Like, I'm usually just off web predictions, so I'm just gonna not touch that.
Well, I tell you what, man. If you don't have a horse in a race, and you're just looking at the whole landscape, just do me a favor and root for my Dallas Cowboys. How's that sound?
You know, man. You know, I have a friend who's a huge Dallas Cowboys fan.
Okay.
So maybe I'll do it for you guys.
There we go, Omari. Before we get you out of here, my friend. I know I didn't see you last night, but I know you followed what took place at the Breslin last night between the Michigan State men's basketball team and that win over Minnesota. The Spartans now sweeping the season Big Ten conference meetings between the two. How impressive is that victory, and how high is the ceiling for this team?
It's a good win, and it's a needed win because it kind of confirmed what I thought about the team beforehand, where this is a team that is as good as far as they are able to focus and, you know, just bring it from possession to possession, because I thought that's what they struggled with against Penn State and Philly last week. They were missing loose balls. They weren't getting key rebounds. I mean, Penn State was hitting the key shots. It looked like one team really wanted it more, and I'm sure Izzo got into them. I'm sure they were embarrassed, and we saw the results of that last night. The ceiling for this team, they have to stay healthy, of course, but we see that now that Miles Bridges is getting his back, that they're starting to play up to their potential. And Bridges is such a great, I mean, guy to have, a guy who can impact both sides. I think this team kind of reminds me of the team 2 years ago when they often struggled for big man depth, and they kind of struggled at first and then made a run in the Big Ten. So I'm going to go ahead and say that at the high end, this could be a Final Four team if they have the right matchups once seeding happens.
I like that, and I would not disagree with that. Omari Sankofa, General Assignment Sports Reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Omari, we wish you well. Congratulations, and keep us posted on how things are coming along once you make that move out to Pittsburgh. Thanks so much, Omari.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with Throwback Thursday, as well as Ray from Indiana, who wants to chime in on things, and I believe he has something to say about Kurt Warner. Just a guess. We'll be right back. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Two comments via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. This one comes from our great listener, Ben Grimes. I want to say that Michigan is going to struggle next year after losing 18 seniors. Looking forward to Big Ten football this next season as Minnesota embarks on their journey with PJ Fleck as their new head football coach to see if my Spartans can bounce back from a rough season this past season and compete once again for a divisional title and a Big Ten title when stacked up against the rest of the Big Ten. Great comment, Ben. And also my stepdad, whose birthday was yesterday. Pops, you're getting old. He says, I'll tell you this, kid. I was hoping the Lions would have reached out to Kurt Warner. we probably would have made it possibly to the Super Bowl easily. Just my opinion. My stepdad listens every day, and he loves Ray. Ray is his favorite caller that calls in because Ray always brings up Kurt Warner. On line one, we've got Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up, man?
Well, Skipper, I hope in 3 weeks from Saturday he gets in the Hall of Fame where he belongs.
I think we are all hoping that that happens. I think he deserves it, Ray. And as I've stated numerous times, I think that Kurt will get that bid.
You know what? I'll tell you what, my friend. The bad teams that he had before they got there and afterwards, I would challenge Tom Brady to be on those teams and see how good he would have played.
Well, okay, hold on, Ray. I have to say this. Kurt Warner was great when he played, don't get me wrong. But Tom Brady, you can really make the argument that Tom Brady may go down as the greatest quarterback of all time.
What about Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers as well. I think Aaron Rodgers has the best football mind at the position that we've seen of all time. You can make that argument, but I think
he can run and pass. Here's the problem with Tom Brady, and he's got a lot better teams than Kurt Warner had. But the only way you're ever going to beat him, like in the playoffs, you've got to get your pass rush to push up front because this guy, he's so tall. Because all he does is when those guys go on the outside and they're getting close, he just steps up in the pocket and makes the throw. I don't understand why none of these coaches learned that you got to pressure him up the middle. There's the only way you're going to beat him. You got to get him to run left or right of his target.
I'm not a betting man, but if I had to choose right now who are the two teams that are going to make the Super Bowl, I would have to say it's going to be between the Patriots and my Dallas Cowboys, baby. Respect the star. Ray, we got 1 minute left. We got to get out of here, but thanks so much for the call.
I will call in over there, okay, by Kurt Warner.
It's on my to-do list, my friend, at the very top. Thanks, Ray.
See, the bullies keep getting beat in basketball.
Thank you so much. Yeah, they did. They're
on the pace for 15 or 20 losses this year. If you guys can beat them those two games, go Spartans.
All right, Ray from Indiana. You can guarantee two things in a Ray from Indiana call. A shot at U of M, that's guaranteed, and a bid for Kurt Warner in the NFL Hall of Fame. We are out of time, ladies and gents. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We're going to dive into the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons, both in action tonight. Don't miss tomorrow's show to wrap up the week. Thanks so much for tuning in. As always, take care and be easy, people.